Amen. So if you've got your Bibles, I hope you do, let's open them to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians, the third chapter. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to look at a verse that if it don't light your fire, your wood is wet, baby. I'm telling you, this verse right here is a hallmark verse to me. It is something that I believe greatly describes the character and nature of our God, and something that we need to begin to believe and embrace in multiple different levels. And it's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Look at it with me. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Let's read it together. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Let's keep reading. "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Let's read it again. And I want us to read it together because I want you to really capture these truths in your heart. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Father, we thank you this morning for this wonderful truth that we can build our lives on. That, Lord, truly everything is possible to you. You are able, and you're not just able to just do anything. You're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above everything we could ever ask you to do and everything we could ever imagine you doing. You are able to do these things in our lives. And we thank you that that certainly applies to the healing, resurrection of our physical bodies and everything we are believing you for. We know your word is true. All of your promises in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. So Lord, teach us today. Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth and teach us how we can position ourselves to receive this exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think kind of manifestation of your promises. We thank you today for it, and we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, and all of God's church says, amen. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, this is something that you don't have to really look too far to find that this is how God does things. If you know anything about the Scriptures, you read your Bible, you find out that God has a tendency throughout the history of time to do things exceedingly, abundantly, and above all we could ever ask or think. If you just go back to the beginning and you look back at the book of Genesis, how many of you know people in their own hearts could have never conceived that the whole earth would be flooded with water? But God was able. Amen. Not only that, but you go into the book of Exodus and you see that God was able to part a sea with just a blast from his nostrils. He was able to send plagues into Egypt and overthrow the government of this world during that time. God has caused axe heads to float. He's healed people of terminal diseases. Time and time again, we see in the Word of God, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. How many of you believe we serve a God that's able to do this? And how many of you also believe he's able to do this in you? Amen. Amen. There might be something going on in your physical body. It might look like an impossible situation. It might be something that you've been dealing with, a chronic pain, a chronic disease, and something it seems like there's no way in the natural this can ever change, it can ever be turned. But I'm here to tell you today, God is able. He's able to exceed your expectations. He's able to give you abundantly more you could ever ask for. And he's even able to blow your mind and your own imaginations of what he's able to perform in your life. God is able. But, I said but, And you always got to be careful where you put your butt. Amen? Some people put their butt in the wrong place. Here, I'm going to tell you that there is something that we need to understand about this verse that a lot of people miss. Because many of us and most of the church would amen everything that I just said, and we'd be all excited about that. I could probably get you running around the church today, us being all excited. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly. But that's not all the verse. Let's continue reading the rest of verse 20. Again, he says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," but notice this phrase, "according to the power that works in us," and we know the "us" that he's referring to there is the church, because he refers to the church in the very next verse, that this is where the glory of God's going to be manifest through. Amen? Now, when he says, "according to the power that works in us," there's a lot of important things that we can learn from that phrase. And the first one is this, is the words "according to." Now, when you see the words "according to," what does that mean to you? Well, "according to," literally another way you could translate it is "in proportion to." In proportion to. In fact, that's where we get our word "accord" from. So if I'm doing something in accord with someone else, what does that mean? I'm doing it at the same time, in the same way as they are. So that's where we get where it denotes "in proportion to." Okay? So God is able to do all of this, but it's in proportion to something that's working in us, which Paul calls the power. The power. Now, if I were to poll every person, listen to me right now, and ask you, what is this power that works in us? I'd probably get a lot of flowery good answers. Some people would say, the Holy Spirit. That's the power that's on the inside of us. Some people would say, faith. That's the power that works on the inside of us. Some people would go and talk about this being the power and that being the power, but let me give you a good way to interpret Scripture. Always let the context of the verse dictate what you believe about the verse. Okay? Not just what tradition has taught us, not what religion has taught us. Those might be good things and there might be truth to that. But the best way to always find out what the verses are meaning is by looking at what the verses are saying around that. Okay? So, with that being said, in order to find out what this power is that we need to have working in us in order to receive the things God's able to do, we need to read the verses preceding this. Now, if you know anything about your Bible, you know that this is the tail end. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, are the tail end of a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed over this church. Amen. Now, how many of you know Paul prayed some pretty awesome prayers? And I'm here to tell you today, on a little side note, let me take a little rabbit trail for a minute. If you want to receive from God exactly what God wants for you, pray the prayers God gave us in the Scriptures. Now, what do I mean by that? Particularly the prayers you see Paul praying over these churches. I'm a big proponent of this. If I pray Ephesians chapter 1 prayer, Ephesians chapter 3 prayer, Philippians chapter 1, and the list goes on and on, these Pauline prayers, they are the way to unlock the will of God in our lives. And one of the things that I think is powerful about all these different prayers, did you know what Paul never prayed for? Not one time do you see Paul praying in all of his prayers for anything natural, anything carnal, anything that is fleshly of this world. Go and study it out on your own. You'll find that in all of his prayers, he always prayed for revelation, fruit, wisdom, and a bunch of different things like the power of God working in us. He was constantly focused on what was happening in our spiritual man, what's happening in our heart more than what's happening in our physical life around us. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't care about our physical life. It doesn't mean that God is not concerned with the things like maybe a physical sickness or pain in us. I believe it's just getting to the root of the problem before he ever deals with the fruit of the problem. And you'll see what that means here in a moment. So if you back up in chapter 3, let's look at something. I'm going to show you today that when it comes to your physical health, when it comes to you receiving in your physical body exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, how do you do that? How, what are some things that you can do? Good, wise tips to make sure you're positioned to receive God's exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think kind of power working in you. And I believe it's found in these verses. In fact, I'd actually never seen these things until this week. But the Holy Ghost knew who was going to be here today and exactly what we would need. So let's back up. Verse 14. I love this prayer. Wonderful prayer to pray over yourself. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And then he begins to pray some things. Look at verse 16. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, you're going to find in this prayer four tips, four keys to having God's power work on the inside of you so that you can receive everything that God wants to provide in your life. The first one is where we find the word power. It's in verse 16. He begins by requesting, petitioning the Father that God would grant them something. Now, when I'm saying this word grant you something, I'm not talking about Grant Barton. You understand that? That's the guy that you might have met coming on the inside of you. I'm talking about God graciously bestowing something on you, giving it to you freely. Say freely. This is how God does things. It's by grace. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do it through a bunch of self-effort and things like that. The way God gives things is by granting them to you, by graciously imparting them to you. So that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory, so in proportion to the riches that are found in his glory, to be strengthened with might. Now, the word that's used for might there is actually a poor translation, because you'll find that it's actually the same word dunamis that was used in 3:20 when he talked about the power that works in you. So here's the answer to that question earlier. How do you find out what that power is that's working in you? Well, based on the context and the same breath of what Paul was saying, the power that works in you is being described just a few verses prior. And he's talking about you and I being strengthened with this power where? In us, in the inner man, through his Spirit. Amen? So what are we seeing here? Paul had started off this whole prayer by praying that we would start to have this power working in us. And how does it happen? Through the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Ooh, thank God for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you? Well, I'm here to tell you today that the Holy Spirit residing in you is not all there is to Christianity. He needs to be working in you. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean just because he resides there, he might have his feet kicked up on your couch with his hands behind his head just relaxing because you have not put him to work in you. Amen? And that's something that we've got to learn that we are doing, is that, Holy Spirit, I want to co-labor with you today. I want you to be active on the inside of me. I need you through your Spirit to be strengthening me with some power on the inside of me so that I am having this power work in me. Because that's how all these other things are going to be happening in my life. Amen? So to be strengthened with this power through his Spirit, where? In the inner man. So here's tip number one, key number one to receiving from the Lord. Number one is you need to check your inward man. If you've got, now I'm not saying every physical disease, every pain, every ache, every illness that we have going on in our life, I'm not saying that all of those things are a direct result of what I'm about to tell you. But I am here to tell you today that with a lot of chronic physical problems, they are a result of inward man problems. It usually goes over that like that, Mark, when you say something like that. But it is true. In fact, I've studied these things out. We did a study in our church not too many years back on the subject of wisdom. And one of the things that I did in the study of wisdom was I went to the book of Proverbs. And if you're familiar with Proverbs, you notice that there's all these like little bullet point truths. It's not written like some other books are, but you got all these little proverbs, these little truths that you have listed there. And what I did was I went and categorized them all. I took every single one of those verses from all 31 chapters of Proverbs, and I categorized them under finances and also physical health. And I saw something when I did that. I found that the majority of time that the Book of Wisdom, when referring to physical problems, directly tied them to inward man problems. I'll give you a few verses. You can actually go over to with me. Go over to Book of Proverbs and go to chapter 14. And while you're turning over there, I want you to know this one. This is one that all of us are familiar with. We might not necessarily need to look at. But how about this one? A merry heart, say it with me, a merry heart does good like a medicine, right? But envy is rottenness to the bones. That's how the rest of the verse goes on to say. So do you see what he's saying right there? A merry heart does good like a medicine, but envy is rottenness to the bones. He's basically tying together that if your inward man's condition is good, it works like a medicine on the inside of you. But if you've got something like envy going on the inside of you, it can actually rotten your bones, right? So, and I don't think that's exclusively the only way that you can have physical issues. I just think he's throwing out a couple of things. Like this verse, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 says, a sound heart is what? Life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Now he's saying it again, right? And again, it's not just exclusive to envy. I think we're talking about jealousy. I think we're talking about bitterness. I think we're talking about strife. You know, they've actually attributed that strife is a lot of times a common denominator you can find in certain physical problems that people have. And strife is like biting and devouring one another, kind of like maybe a cancerous cell is the bad or devouring the good ones. Right? So what I'm saying is that in a lot of cases you can find where the things that are going on the outside of me are a result of what's going on the inside of me. And that's why joy, peace, love, and all these various things being allowed to nourish and strengthen my inward man is a critical component to how much I'm receiving these things in my physical body. Amen. Another verse is Proverbs 17:22. Let's put this one up. Well, that was the merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So there's actually a bunch of them. I actually got several verses, but I don't really want to harp on this today other than a good word of wisdom is when it comes to me believing for something in my outward man, I need to look at how my inward man's doing. Amen. What is the condition of my inward man? What is the condition of this eternal part of me on the inside, which is, a lot of people would refer to it as, your heart, which leads me to my second point in Ephesians chapter 3. Go back over there. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 17 now. After he talks about being strengthened with power through his spirit in my inward man, notice this, he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Amen. So here's something that's really interesting to me when I read this phrase. How many of you believe Jesus lives on the inside of you? Amen. How many of you have got Christ in you? You know, there's a lot of scriptures that actually talk about that Christ in us is our hope of glory and so forth. So why would Paul pray for a church that Jesus Christ would dwell in their hearts? I thought he already did. Well, a good way to explain this is by looking up the word dwell. There's a difference between somebody being in you or in your house and somebody making that their dwelling, right? I could come over to Mark's house today. He might invite me over for lunch. I accept your invitation too, by the way, Mark. And I come over to his house today, and I'm in his house, but that doesn't mean Pastor Trey dwells there. You following what I'm saying? So Jesus can live on the inside of you, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's at home within you. You know? It's kind of like there's certain things that you could do. Like, so say Mark decides to take me into his house and I'm able to make it my dwelling. Well, you know something? I might go live in his house and not necessarily still be at home there. Why? The wallpaper might creep me out. There might be furniture in there that's just not appealing to me. I remember, in fact, when I'd go stay with my grandma when I was a little kid down in Adrian, Georgia. Y'all know where Adrian is. Y'all know where that's at? All right, anyways, well, it's if you can't see the end of the world from there, I mean, if it's not the end of the earth, you can see it from there, praise God. So I remember staying as a young child in my grandmother's house, and we'd stayed in this little guest bedroom that they had. And they had a chair in this room, and you're going to think I'm exaggerating when I say this, but it was the most scary, creepy chair you'd ever seen in your life. It was made out of black buffalo fur. It had a real high back to it, and it had the buffalo horns coming out the back like that. I thought it was Satan's throne, amen. I mean, I didn't think there was anything good and holy about this chair, and I'm having to lay there trying to go to sleep at night looking over at this chair over there thinking for sure Lucifer's going to come in there and sit in that chair tonight. Well, how many of you know that chair did not make Trey at home? Do you think there might be some things that we allow in our hearts that don't make Jesus feel at home? Now, I'm not saying go on a witch hunt and try to figure out all the bad stuff that you might got going on the inside of you or anything like that, but I am saying that there are certain times and places where we need to look at things and say, Lord, are you truly dwelling in my heart today? Are you at home on the inside of me? Are you comfortable? Or have I closed certain doors in my home and said, Jesus, you can have your run of the living room, but you can't go in this room. Can't have you in this room either. I'm here to tell you today that if you want to have God, if you want to have Jesus completely enveloping your entire world, you've got to give him access to every room in your heart. So tip number two is this, check your heart. Have you given Jesus everything on the inside of you? And like a good tip that we make with certain people, you know, there's certain people that have really bad, and I got sympathy for people that go through constant physical problems and stuff like that. But one of the ways I always point them to, and one of the things I always point them to is, you need to go to the Lord and you need to pray, miss some meals if you have to, and let the Lord show you anything on the inside of you that needs to be tweaked or adjusted so that you're in position to receive exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. Amen? I mean, how many of you know there could be some things in there that are hindering us? I mean, one of the things we harp on it a lot in the church, but it is an important thing. Unforgiveness, bitterness, you know, and things like that that we might have thought we dealt with. Sometimes those things can be in the closet of our heart and we haven't really necessarily cleaned it up. I think it's time that we need to do some spring cleaning, especially if we're needing something to manifest in our physical body that's going to require God's great ability and power to do it. Amen? So Christ, come dwell in my heart. I want you to have every room. Show me anything I need to see. Reveal to me anything that needs to be exposed. And it might simply be something that we're just not doing through faith. You notice that? He dwells in your heart through faith. Amen. So one of the big things is, and I'm going to tell you, you want to have the best wallpaper for Jesus? You want to have the best furniture for Jesus? You want to have everything that makes Jesus completely comfortable in your heart? The first thing you need to decorate your house of your heart with is what? Faith. He loves faith. He loves those that will believe without seeing. He loves those that will trust him with what he said, simply just on the basis that he said it without ever having any physical evidence of it in their life whatsoever. That's what pleases God. Doesn't it say in Hebrews 11, verse 6, for without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible to please God, right? Well, you know what that teaches me? If it's impossible to please God without faith, guess what's possible? If I have more faith, if I apply more faith, if I believe him more without seeing it, it pleases him more. And it makes him comfortable. Amen? So, point number one was what? Check your inward man. You know, what's the condition of my inward man right now? Point number two is check your heart. Because out of your heart flow the issues of your life. Has Jesus gotten access to every area of your heart? And then number three, and this is something that we're going to be learning a lot at our church coming up, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and he goes on to say, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Number three, and this is a big one, have your foundation, have your roots grounded in God's love. Such an important point. And the reason why is because I have found, I'm sure Minton, Pastor Robert, and others would echo the same thing, that a lot of people are building their life upon, or building their faith upon believing for what they need in their physical body. They're not basing it on God's love for them. They're basing it on their love for God. They're basing it on their own behavior, their own works, or following a bunch of rules and all this kind of stuff. No, you always need to go back to, I am building my faith today on the fact God loves me. How many of you know, because God loves you, he wants you well. Because of Christ's great love for you, healing has been provided for you. How many of you know that it's because he loves you and not because of what you've done that God wants to give you everything you could ever hope for or desire? Amen. It's all based on his love for me. It's all based on his love for you. Amen. Everything he desires to do. And then, what is it? What am I not basing my life on? I'm not basing it on all that I do for God. I'm basing it on all Christ has already done for me. Amen. How many of you know Jesus already went to the cross? He's already been raised from the dead. All things that pertain to life and godliness, every spiritual blessing, all the forgiveness and all the healing that we're ever going to need in our life was accomplished 2,000 years ago. Amen. So he already did it, not based on what you've done in these past 50 years or so. He's done it based on what he did hundreds of years before you and I were even a thought on this planet. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So if he did all this for you, if he did all this for me before I was even born, why would I think that I've got to do all these different things to be able to get them to happen in my life? If they existed before I was even a breath, amen, then that's all that matters. It is by the grace of God. It is by the goodness of God. So I am basing my life on what? On Christ's love for me. And like I said, we're going to be teaching on this. I'm actually starting this Sunday of talking about God loves you. A simple title, a simple revelation, with profound ramifications in our life. I call it the single greatest revelation you and I could ever have. And you know something? The thing is, you're never going to fully come to understand and know how much Christ loves you. But guess what? You can take a bite. It's like an inexhaustible bag of Lay's potato chips. Not to cheapen it in any way. You might not like Lay's. You might like some organic version of something. But whatever. You've got this whole bag, and it's kind of like, man, you can't just be satisfied with one. Amen? It's like right now, we eat lunch over here, and my dessert this week is, guess what? Fig Newtons, baby. How many of you love Fig Newtons? I love Fig Newtons. And I'm going to tell you something that's dangerous about Fig Newtons. If you don't watch it, you'll eat the whole row of them. You know what I'm saying? I just like them. Well, God is like that. You're never going to exhaust the row of God's goodness, of His love. But guess what? You can sure enjoy bite after bite. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good to me. Hallelujah. It is something you can experience. It's something you can have and you can taste and you can see that the Lord is good. That's why he goes on to say at verse 19, notice this. He says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Have you ever wondered about that verse when you read that? Of how is that even possible? I mean, think about that. How can you know something that passes knowledge? Well, the key is, in that phrase, is that you got to understand what the words mean. And the word that's used for knowledge in the end of that phrase is the word that describes complete and thorough understanding of something. I mean, it's like you can know math or you can know science or you can know some subject, but then there are those that are masters of these things. They are on top of the subject, which is, to me, a great way to define the Greek word that's used for knowledge. So it's knowing something thoroughly and completely. You will never know the love of Christ like that. It's going to take all of eternity for you to just grasp these little bits of it to know how awesome and great His love is for you. But you know what you can do? You can know something that passes this complete thorough knowledge, which the word know at the beginning of this verse describes an experiential knowledge. Amen. In other words, it's taking that bite that I said. It's seeing a little bit here. It's experiencing a little bit there. How many of you have taken a few bites of this love in your life? I mean, but I'm going to tell you something. Nobody in here has exhausted it. Nobody in here has experienced everything you can experience in knowing God's love for you. Because when you start to experience God's love in such a great way, man, it changes so many things in your life. In fact, it changes everything that needs to change in our lives. So I need to come to know, experience, have bite by bite, taste by taste, more experiences of this love of Christ that will always surpass me coming to a place of, oh, I've arrived at that. Amen? I need to continuously be learning about this. Why? Because the more I come to know about that love, the more I know He wants me well. The more I know He has provided everything that I have need of in my life. Amen? I mean, He's done it all, and it's all because He loves you. Amen? He wants you well because He loves you. And so always check the love tank that you got going on the inside of you. Am I building my life? Am I basing what I'm believing God on right now on His love for me? And of course, this does then reflect into how I'm loving others. Amen? I mean, that's a whole other thing. I found that the vast majority of times in my life when I've dealt with any physical sickness or anything like that, you know what I found? It was usually a common denominator during that time is maybe my love walk wasn't where it needed to be. Maybe I was opening my mouth and saying things about people that I shouldn't have. Amen or oh me. And those things happen, and you can kind of open yourself up to certain things. That's why check your love walk. It goes back to that checking your heart thing. But then I love this. That's point number three. I like point number four a lot. And it goes in line with what Judy led us in song about today. Being filled with the presence of the Lord. Because look what he says. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Glory to Jesus. Now, we're talking here about an experiential filling. Because there's actually other verses that talk about you've already been filled with God's fullness. You've already been filled with the presence of God. How many of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit? You've got Jesus filling you. You've got the Father filling you. I mean, there is a lot to be said for what's taking place in our life spiritually, but what I love about this is we're talking about experientially being filled in my life. And here's the good thing. The more I get filled with God, the less I can be full of myself. I should probably say that one again, shouldn't I, Johnny? The more I'm filled with God, the less I have room to be filled with myself. And I'm telling you, I've been around. I've been in ministry for enough years to be able to see this. And I'm not picking on anybody. We've all had these kind of things happen in our life. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, one of our biggest problems, I like to say it this way, our biggest enemy is the inner me. Meaning, it's self. That it's me thinking about myself. It's woe is me. I need this in my life. All these different things. And I've come to find that one of the number one ways, one of the quickest ways to get to the place where God can get in you what you need to have is less of me, more of him. Amen? And it just kind of happens as a byproduct. Like, I'll give you an example. This isn't necessarily sickness and disease, but it's something that was an example of my life. When I got turned on to the Lord, man, I remember every time there was an altar call, I was up at the front. When God was moving, I was there. And all these different things are going on, and I'm just seeking the Lord, not because I'm trying to get anything, but because I'm just hungry for him. Well, I'd just gotten saved. And one of the problems that I had before I got saved was I used to be addicted to nicotine. I was smoking cigarettes, and I wasn't like the worst smoker. I wasn't smoking like over a pack a day, but I'd smoke about a half a pack a day, and I had my little routine of I like my cigarettes after certain meals and all this kind of stuff, and I was still hooked on it. I'd gotten saved. Christ had moved on the inside of me. Some things had just automatically completely changed right then, but not that. I was still in the habit, the habitual way of doing things, of smoking. And I finally realized after several months, this is probably not a good witness. You know, it's probably not a good idea for a Christian to walk around smoking and claiming to be talking about Christ. And also, it probably wasn't good for my physical health either. Right? So I'm like, God, I want to be free from this. And I remember I went to a particular store. It was an Eckerd. How many of y'all remember Eckerds? And all the old people in here said amen. And so I went into an Eckerds, and I went into the back, and I was looking for, let me find some help to get free from this nicotine addiction I had. And I remember I went back. They had the gum. They had the patches. They had all this stuff, and I'm just looking. I'm not consulting with the Lord at all on any of this. You understand? And I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll get this. And I remember I went and stood in line, and I had this thing, I'm ready to pay for it, and the Lord says to me, go put that back. And I said, yes, sir. Took it back, put it up. And you know what? I really didn't give any more thought to doing anything to be free. I didn't know why he told me to take it back. But I did know this. For the next handful of days, when I'd have my little break at work and go smoke my cigarette, and all of you that have smoked before, you'll know what I'm talking about. When I'd light it up and I'd smoke it, it tasted like the first cigarette I ever smoked. You know what I'm talking about. So it started out that way, and then your taste buds and everything become numb to where you don't taste it the more you do it. So they started tasting that. And with my lightning flash mind, I started realizing after 3 days, say 3 days, 3 days, I started realizing God must have delivered me from cigarettes because they taste like I've never had one before. And I laid them down, never had another one since. Amen. Here's the part of the story, though, I want you to get. I told this to a friend of mine that I respected. They heard from the Lord, been in the walk a lot longer than me. God gave them a vision. They came and told me, they said, I had a vision of Jesus in the temple with that whip clearing out the money changers and the people that were buying and selling. You remember that whole story in the Bible? He had a vision of that. And the Lord showed him that that's what was happening with me. Jesus was in this temple cleansing out of me everything that needed to be gone. It didn't happen because I was manufacturing it. It didn't happen because I was trying to make something happen or was believing for it. It just simply happened because Jesus had moved on the inside of me. He was cleaning out this temple. And if he'll do that for nicotine, he'll do that for cancer. He'll do that for pains. He'll do that for any physical problem. The key is just letting Jesus come and fill your temple up. Have access to all those rooms. You're founded and grounded on that. And he comes in, and as he begins to be filling you up, it drives out all the darkness. Because with the presence of light becomes the absence of darkness. Here's an awesome verse, Philippians 1:20. You don't need to turn to it, but Mary will put it up on the screen. Philippians 1:20, I love this. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now also, look at this, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. How many of you would say with me today, I'll have some of that? I would love to have Christ being more and more magnified in this here body to where it's more of him and less of me. Amen? And so when Christ is being magnified, what does it mean to be magnified? It's kind of like taking a magnifying glass or a microscope, telescope, periscope, whatever scope you want to use. What are those devices used to do? To make something visible, bigger than they are to the naked eye. Amen. So if Christ is being magnified in me, then that means he is bigger and now is able to be seen where he might not have been seen to the naked eye. A lot of us, we might be living our life going around and everything like that, and guess what? Jesus isn't necessarily being seen in us, but he can be. The more I'm filled with him, the more people can see him than see Trey. And that's a great place to be. Amen. So back over in Ephesians chapter 3, when he says this, that you may be filled, look at this now, terminology, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, this word all is a really awesome word. I mean, I love to do word studies, and I found some awesome truths through studying certain things. And you know what I found here? I looked up the word all, and it's a special word. It's an amazing word. I looked it up, and guess what it means? All! It means what it says. It means all. It means every. It means that you can actually be filled with all of God's fullness. Everything that makes him who he is, you and I are capable of being filled with that. And when that happens, man, guess what else you got in there? When you have God filling you, you got his power filling you. You got his love filling you. You got his hope. You got his faith. You got all the things that make God who he is filling you up. And I'm telling you, when that happens, there's less room for you. There's less room for your sickness. There's less room for your pain. There's less room for all the things that you need to have in here. Now, so here's a question. How do you get to this place? How are you filled with all the fullness of God? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll show you a couple of verses. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to show you parallel verses here. Ephesians and Colossians were written around the same time by Paul. And in both of these books, he says the same thing a lot of times in different ways. That's why understanding both books and reading them together are really important. And you'll see why when it comes to this one. But I love this verse right here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Come on now, say it with me. And do not be drunk with wine. Let me say it again. And do not be drunk with wine. Okay? So what is the Bible telling me? Don't be drunk with wine. Right? And I don't think it's just talking about wine, that kind of bubbly. I think this is also talking about any form of alcohol. Amen? And why? And here's the awesome part of it. I remember me and Johnny had a conversation about this. You remember that, Johnny? And we were talking about, and you know, we all got our own stuff. But one of the things I remember, we were talking about this early on in his Christian walk. I was like, man, praise God, there is a better kind of wine. There is something better you can be filled with. That's what he says right here. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. In other words, it's destructive. It'll only steal and kill and destroy from you. But be filled with the Spirit. Amen. In other words, being filled with the Holy Spirit is the best alternative to being drunk with the wine of this world. And he's called the new wine, isn't he? Amen. I love it. I remember when they were being filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. You remember that? And they're all up there blabbering in tongues. And they're just praising God and everything. And people were coming by that were there for Pentecost were like, what is going on? These people are speaking in all our languages. And one person started accusing them of being drunk with wine. Remember that? And I love what Peter did when he came out and started preaching to them. He said, hey guys, these guys are drunk, but not as you suppose. Amen. In other words, it might seem like on the outside that they're drunk with wine, but what they're drunk with is the new wine. They're filled with the Spirit. Amen. And then he goes on to tell us in this verse how one becomes continuously filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. So how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you stay filled with the Holy Spirit? It's by singing. It's by praising. It's by speaking to yourself. It's by letting His praises fill your mouth. As you begin to worship the Lord and praise God, guess what happens? The more, as the psalmist said, I open my mouth wide, He will fill it. Amen. So the more I open my mouth in praise, the more I worship the Lord, the more I glorify Him, pray in tongues, do the various things, the more I'm speaking to myself in these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord, the more my mouth is open to receive getting filled with more. And the more I get filled with, the less I've got room of me. Glory be to Jesus. Now, go over to Colossians chapter 3, and I think I'll end with this. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Here's a parallel to it. It's not just singing, it's not just praising that gets you filled up with all the fullness of God. That's just one way. Look at this other way. It says, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ, here's that word again, dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Doesn't that sound a little familiar to what we just read? But in one book, Paul made the emphasis of the Holy Spirit filling you. In the other book, he's making reference to the Word filling you. And this is my testimony. I'm a big advocate of being Spirit-filled. I'm a big advocate of letting the Holy Spirit have His way on the inside of me, and that's a big part, but I also am a big advocate that the Spirit and the Word agree. And the more I get filled with the Word, the less I have room for the things that contradict the Word. You know this, what you're listening to right now, this is the way I envision things. You might think right now, I'm auditing something and I'm learning some nice truths and facts, and praise the Lord, I'm becoming edumacated in the things of God and I'm learning some things. No, I look at things a little bit differently. I look at the Word of God like spiritual food. And I look at it like many of you, whether you realize it or not, if your hearts are open, that you're sitting back like this. And I'm sitting here force-feeding you word, 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 word. It's getting crammed down in your mouth. And you're like, oh, you've had enough? Nope, here's some more. Here's some more. Here's some more. And you're getting so full of the Word of God that guess what it's doing? It drives out sickness and disease. That's why His Word works like medicine. Amen. How many of y'all got dogs or cats or something like that? All right. Yeah. We all got little animals and stuff like that. You know what? My dog does not like taking the pills that sometimes we have to give her. So you know what? Daddy's got to be the one. Holds her down. Pins her. Grabs that mouth open and shoves that thing in there. Holds the mouth together. And still she's... Ah, you got it in you. That's what I'm doing to you today, praise God. I'm going to hold you here until you start to swallow this medicine and it starts to work on the inside of you until it brings in the fullness of God. I'm not going to hold you here any longer, but I'm here to tell you today that these are the ways that we receive exceedingly abundantly above we could ever ask or think. Number one, check your inward man. Make sure your inward man is strong. Make sure your inward man is getting filled with some power, that it's healthy. And the ways you know that your inward man is healthy is by the joy you have, the peace you experience, by the love walk that's exuding from your life, the hunger and insatiable desire and appetite for the things of God. That shows the condition of your inward man. Number two, make sure you check your heart. Let the Lord have all the rooms of your heart. Make sure He's at home on the inside of you. Make sure that Jesus Christ is filling every room, dealing with everything in the heart, and that you're asking Him to show you things that could be hindering everything God has for you. Number three, make sure you're rooted and grounded in love. I'm basing everything I believe, all my trust, all my hope, all my faith is based on His love for me. Amen? And then finally, number four, just get filled up with God. Just keep drinking. Just keep eating. Just keep opening your mouth wide and let God continuously fill you up until there's no more room left for the darkness. All the light drives it out. Amen. And you're starting to get so full of God that it just happens as a byproduct. Jesus gets in your temple and just starts cleaning you out. Praise God, because He's being magnified on the inside of you. I'm telling you, these four tips, if we do these things and practice them in our life, I believe we can get to the place where God's ability to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or think can blow our minds, blow our expectations out the roof, and we would be able to see the things we ask for coming to pass fully in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand on our feet. Holy Spirit, if you'd come today and play the piano, I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Lord. Our piano player's not here now, so. Amen. Praise God. It's funny, one time we were in here one day and we were having a good time of worship, and somebody came to me and said, Pastor Trey, do you see that angel up there in the corner over there around that speaker? And they were talking about, man, I see an angel up there. I was like, praise God, tell him to fix that speaker while he's up there, if you don't mind. Praise God. Amen. God's good to us, and He's got a good sense of humor, probably more than we've got. Amen. And He wants to fill us up, and He wants us to experience all that He has. I want Christ to be magnified in me, and I want to receive exceedingly abundantly above all He could ever ask or think. I want to see the things that are happening in the Bible happen in my body. Amen. Amen? And I believe it's possible, but there are certain things that we've got to let the Lord work from the inside to the outside. And when that happens, nothing can stop this mighty moving force called the army of the Lord. and we'll experience His goodness. So let's receive from Him right now. Hold your hands up if you believe in doing so. Get yourself in receiving position. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You today for Your word that, Lord, we can receive everything You are able to do. And I'm thankful, Lord, that it's not just based on, as much of the church believes today, it's not just based on what You're able to do. It's not just based on what You have the power to do, because then it's up to You to do it. Lord, it's up to us allowing the power working in us to see these things come to pass. And I thank You today that You've shown us how to receive this goodness and this power in our lives. We bless You and we thank You today for giving us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You've given us the authority to receive these things from You. And we are so thankful for it today, Lord. We believe You for it and we receive it from You. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. If somebody needs to be filled up with God today, if you just like hands laid on you, just simply like I was talking about earlier, just because the more you come, the more you can get filled up, come on up here and I'm going to lay hands on you today, and I believe we can receive more of the power and the goodness of God in our lives. And I just thank you guys for coming today. God bless you. Good to see you, brother. And we will hopefully see you guys next week. But if you need prayer today, come on up. We'd love to join with you in that. God bless you guys.